listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mother's Nightclub in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Rye, the movie guy, and this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, we take a look at our top five favorite inspirational movies.
You know, Rye, you are the wind beneath my wings.
Oh, that's so nice, Matt. In addition to that, we also have reviews of one of the most disturbing and strangest films I have ever seen, Dogtooth. Plus, nice. I saw Tron Legacy.
I saw the Pixar story. I got a whole story behind how I saw the Pixar story, too.
This is awesome. So we got plenty of reviews, and we have a guest joining us.
Yes, Michael Longani will be joining us in just a... Let's bring him in.
Yeah, let's bring Michael in right now. Michael Longani, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, man. So you were on Apprentice Season 5, and you've done just a whole slew of other stuff, too.
Yeah, this was about maybe 4 years ago. I was a final six finisher on The Apprentice. Recently after that, I was named in People Magazine's Hottest Bachelor issue. More people actually paid attention to that than they did the show. But you know,
Where'd you settle in on that list?
Oh, you know what? It was just like the reality TV section. So
okay.
And Taylor Hicks was on the cover, so it doesn't lend much credibility to the actual magazine. So let's put it there.
Still, People Magazine. Man.
Yeah, no, it was definitely interesting because it was a funny story. I was at work and someone saw it on CNN, and then they stopped me at work and was like, "Hey, you were on CNN last night," and I was like, "What?" No clue, because I guess they just pick random people, and, you know, girlfriend at the time didn't appreciate it, but, you know, I told her it was Bachelor. Doesn't mean we're not married, so, you know, but that was a long time ago.
And Michael, take us back to how you got started on going for The Apprentice. Was it a tryout here in Chicago, or how did that all come about when you first went out for the show?
Yeah, you know, I'd watched a couple seasons. I was a consultant at the time. Everything they did on the show seemed to make sense, so I was like, why not try out? Woke up really early one morning and figured, you know, I was a little hungover the night before, and I figured, you know, if I get there and there's a massive line, I'm just going to turn around. I was in the cab. I remember I got there, and there was only, like, I don't know, not that many people in line, but I realized I was accidentally an hour early. So it actually made me, like, number 99 in line, which is pretty good, but the line started filling up after me. I never really thought I had a shot. I honestly just kind of went to try out, and next thing I know, I kept advancing through the rounds. I was getting called out to L.A. for the final 50 tryouts, went through a couple days of that, and then I got the notice that I was selected. So it was a real surprise and good experience overall, you know, different. I did it as a life experience, try something new, you know, and actually it ended up changing kind of a lot of my career path afterwards. So,
and you sort of had a background in business. That's what qualified you for the job.
Oh yeah, I started off my career in Arthur Andersen's business consulting practice, and I did a lot of M&A work, mergers and acquisitions, like merger integration. So when companies buy other companies, figure out how to put them together and do a lot of operational analysis, cost takeout, that kind of stuff.
You've got just a whole breadth of talent here. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's inspirational, Rye.
Absolutely, it is. And at one point, did you think, let's be honest, you should have won The Apprentice?
Well, of course. I think everyone thinks that. It's like everyone who's in jail doesn't believe they should be in jail, right? So, yeah, of course. I mean, people always ask me to do it again. I go, yeah, I do it again. This time I'd hope to know how to win. So
cool.
Didn't feel it was fixed at all.
No, not at all. I will say that everything you see is real on it. There's no, like, scripting for us. There's no retakes or any of that stuff. Everything is, I mean, it's even more real because you don't see half of what happens on the show. I mean, even more than that. I mean, the boardrooms last, like, over an hour of arguing, and you only see 10 minutes. So the producers basically just pick the pieces they feel are relevant to the story for each person, and they roll with it. So,
but there's got to be a little creative editing, like reactions that don't actually match what was just said and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm sure there is that. I mean, I saw a couple instances of that, but it's not that major because at the end of the day, when you say things on audio, audio rules, you know? Just like here, when you get to catch it on audio, that's the most important thing. It's more important than actually the footage. So if they catch you saying it, then you said it. Yeah,
that's
they can
true.
Make people look like they're actually giving you a different impression or maybe saying something different after you've said something, but at the end of the day, you've said what you've said and you said it in the tone that you said. So
you were overall, though, happy with the way you came off on the show. You didn't feel that at all was sort of bending what you said or how you looked?
You know, here and there. I mean, there were some. I had some great highlights that weren't shown. I also had some great down points that weren't shown. So I guess net-net, you know, I'm okay with it. I mean, yeah, there was certain creative editing here and there, but don't want to go into it. But, you know, nothing that, you know, overall still a great experience, and I would do it again if given the opportunity.
Awesome. And is there something you could tell us about the Donald? Maybe that is his hair's got a funny smell to it or something along those lines?
Yeah, I definitely didn't get that close, though. On a reward where we were golfing with Vijay Singh, I was in the locker room with him changing, and you know he didn't remove anything from top of his head or anything like that, so it's all there. You know what? I like the guy. I think that his personality on TV is the way it needs to be because he's at such a high position that he has to promote things. He's a type of salesman that he could be standing in front of a burning building while it's burning down behind him and still try to sell the crap out of it. And he probably will sell some units in it too, even with it burning down behind him. Yeah. But he's got to be that way. So I kind of respect that for the position, because as soon as he admits to any sort of weakness, he'll get torn down. You notice how he's not really doing much on the whole presidential race anymore.
No, he officially dropped out today.
And I was going to say, did you sort of know that beforehand?
Yeah, I knew. Well,
you had your suspicion.
I had my suspicion he actually never was going to plan on running, because I think he knew he wasn't going to win. You know, and he won't attempt something that he doesn't know that he has a good shot of winning. I mean, he's a competitor and he wants to win. He won't settle with second place. So I knew that, you know, I think the whole world knew there's no chance he was going to win, even if he did run. But, you know, the fact that he got the press and all things, I think it's great publicity for him and the show. And at the end of the day, you know, that's the name of the game. It's publicity and getting the name out. And
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Agreed.
Awesome. And so you're a big fan of movies, especially inspirational movies. As this was your topic of choice when we go round robin with our top five.
Yeah, that's right. You know, as a child, you see a lot of movies that shape your destiny in a way. And, you know, I had those moments with certain movies where young, you know, you see these things on TV and you're like, wow, you know, I want to do that. You know, and the next thing you know, you actually can be motivated by those things, or one way or the other, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's true or false, your future can be shaped by the things you see. And pop culture movies, they really do and can affect you growing up, especially when you're young. And what do you see in movies? You see a lot of jobs. You see a lot of people doing things. And you're like, wow, I want to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we always end our questions, Michael, with some guest questions. Let the jawheads at home get to know the guest through our movie questions. So the first question is this. Let's say they're remaking Pretty Woman, and People Magazine most eligible bachelor here, Michael, is cast as Edward, Richard Gere's character. What actress working today would you want to see cast as Vivian Ward, the part that was played by
Julie Roberts?
Jessica Alba.
Nice, nice choice, man. No hesitation there whatsoever.
None at all. I like that. Just confidence.
Yep.
Question number two. You get invited to two different parties on the same night. Which party do you go to? Jake Ryan's party in 16 Candles or the Toga party in Animal House?
Toga party, Animal House.
We're not going to fire this guy, Matt.
No.
Last question. Who would you rather have as a boss? Gordon Gekko from Wall Street or Donald Trump?
Oh, man, that is tough. One of my movies is along this line, so you know what? I'd have to say Donald Trump.
He's real as opposed to fictional, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about Donald is Gekko was all about one thing.
Greed.
The Donald actually, look, I've seen him behind. He's not everything that the persona shows him to be, and he does sway. He has causes that he cares about. And he does do things not necessarily just for the buck. So, you know, I mean, look, whether he was running for presidential candidate or not, he does care about the country. Whether he has great ideas or not, you have to admire someone who, you know, really feels for this country. And there's a lot of people out there who complain, and they don't do a single thing. So if you're at least going to do something, whether it's, you know, hopefully it's positive. I mean, he's looking to do something positive, so I still got to respect that.
Nicely done.
You'd almost still think this guy was getting paid by Trump, I tell you.
Yeah. Hey, if he's hearing this, I'm available.
All right,
he listens every week. Yeah.
Yeah. So before we get to our top five most inspirational films, Eye for an Eye, Interested or Ignore, which is sponsored by the New 400.
Yep, they are our friends out in Rogers Park. Go see a movie there.
Yeah, definitely check them out. Full liquor bar at the New 400. Eye for an Eye, Interested or Ignore, Hangover Part 2. Right after the bachelor party in Las Vegas, Phil, Stu, Alan, and Doug jet to Thailand for Stu's wedding. Stu's plan for a subdued pre-wedding brunch, however, goes seriously awry. The whole gang from the first Hangover is back for the sequel, which is once again directed by Todd Phillips. Matt, interested or ignore on The Hangover Part 2?
Interested, man. Although, I will say, I don't know if they needed to make a sequel.
I agree.
Looks good.
I concur. Absolutely. Interested, but don't think it's going to live up to the first one. I mean, the biggest complaint I heard is that it looks just like the first one. Same, you know, waking up, the same kind of thing. It's just what crazy situations are going to happen to them here. Right. It's going to be funny for sure, no doubt. But the first one was so original, so unique. And you remember those clips at the end, the pictures?
Oh, hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah. I mean, that phenomenal, and you can't recreate that.
I agree. Same exact sentiment. I'm interested, but I would have been happy if they would have just left the original Hangover alone. I do have to say, I was actually in Bangkok about 4 or 5 months ago, so I'm very interested from that standpoint.
How many times did you pass out?
None. Thank the Lord, none. And I didn't have a monkey trying to sell me drugs, which I believe takes place in this one. But I had some strange occurrences anyways, and I'm interested to see them in Bangkok after seeing absolutely how crazy the city was firsthand. So, three interesteds for Hangover Part 2.
Yeah. It's going to be a hit.
Yeah, it's a slam dunk. The other film opening up is The Tree of Life, the tale of a Texas boy's journey from the innocence of childhood to his disillusioned adult years as a lost soul in the modern world, as his quest to regain the meaning in his life. The movie takes place in the 1950s and has some surreal and sci-fi elements. It stars Brad Pitt and Sean Penn and is written and directed by Terrence Malick, who last gave us The New World, but also gave us A Thin Red Line. Matt, interested or ignore on The Tree of Life?
Kind of ignore on that, man. Sounds boring.
Michael?
Yeah, I'm going to have to ignore that one, too. Save it for a rental. With a girl.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical because it's coming out in summer when it seems almost like it should be Oscar type of bait come out late in the year.
Later, yeah.
I'm going to give it an interested. I probably won't see it in the theater, though. Maybe a rental.
Yeah.
Sounds like a rental.
I mean, Brad Pitt does good movies at the end of the day if the right directors are there.
Right.
I mean, Troy was a disaster, but, you know, Ocean's 11 and...
Oh, no doubt. The guy's got
Snatch
stuff.
A lot, you know.
Yeah, and same with Sean Penn. He's a professional. Some people might not like him, but these guys bring some quality to the screen.
Clout.
So, yes, absolutely. Yeah. So we got three interesteds for Hangover, one interested for The Tree of Life. That brings us to our top five most inspirational movies.
I'm inspired
also. These are our fun films to look at. There's a ton of them that I could pick because these are the movies I think that really hang with you because they inspire you, like you were saying, Michael, and they hang inside you. Like they have a little bit more meaning than a normal comedy or a typical drama.
Yeah, this was a very tough list to curate, man, and I actually... I have honorable mentions at the end of this.
All right. I'm going to get a start at this week. My number five, and it was tough to not pick too many sports films because I think sports movies can be very inspirational, but my number five is a sports film. Came out in 2004. Stars Kurt Russell. I'm talking about Miracle.
It's a miracle I have never seen this film.
All right. Miracle is the story of the 1980 USA hockey team who defeated the Soviets.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
In the Winter Olympics.
I'm thinking football right away. You know, whenever you...
And they were huge underdogs, this team. And Kurt Russell plays the coach who sort of came up with this interesting idea of not just trying to bring out, like, all-stars, the best necessarily college players at the time, but... Go with the college players that would play universal hockey, the kind that the Soviets were playing, and beat them at their own game. And two things. One, it's great to see the team come together, but it's also so inspirational to see what one coach could do and bring that whole team unified. At one point, he keeps yelling, "What's the name on the back of your jersey?" And they don't know. You know, they keep saying their own name. They keep saying their own name. And finally, somebody yells, "It doesn't matter. It's what's on the front of your jersey that matters." You know, and they're all one team. Fantastic. The final 30 seconds when he finally, the USA does beat the Russians in the game, the countdown going on. Absolutely love it. Tears in my eyes. Miracle.
I'm gonna watch it. It's on the queue.
That's my number five. What do you got, Matt?
All right, man. Lewis, Gilbert, Poindexter, Wormser, Booger.
Come on.
1984, wow. Revenge of the Nerds.
I don't know how inspirational...
Are you kidding? This is hugely inspirational. This is an underdog story? No, this is the underdog story.
Yeah, but in such a comedic way, I don't know if I felt mainly inspired at the end of the film.
Any film that ends with the song, "We Are the Champions," is an inspirational film. This movie is gold.
And as a former and current nerd, I completely agree with you.
Thank you.
Inspiration for nerds across the world, this movie. The guy got the best girl at the end of the movie. He was the hero. Yeah. The Darth Vader mask. Remember that?
Yes.
Oh my! I remember it, that floating the air mattress, the air thing they were in.
Yep. Yeah.
I wanted a bed like that after that. I'll tell you that.
So many classic moments. We've got Bush. I mean, everything. This movie, beginning to end, I could watch it again and again.
Yeah, and I will give you the idea of the whole end, the competition against the jocks at the end. Somehow all comes back to favor the nerds in their way, or weird way. Even the fantastic song at the end.
Yes. Oh, it was great. Lambda, lambda, lambda.
Strong pick, Matt.
Thank you.
All right, we'll swing it over to Michael. What do you got at number five?
You know what? At number five, this isn't necessarily my most inspirational movie, but I got to just throw a shout out to it. Rocky IV. Drago. Remember that one? That was four, wasn't it?
It was.
Make sure. Yep.
The Russian guy?
Yep. Okay. The reason was is because of all the Rocky movies, that was, you know, it had elements of the Cold War in it, the Russians. It had, what's her name? Bridget, the ex-wife of the tall blonde.
Yes,
oh,
the
yes.
tall blonde.
What was she dated Flava Flav. Right? Brigitte Nielsen?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I believe that's it.
Nielsen. Yeah.
But if he dies, he dies. The whole underdog that Rocky was, with Apollo Creed dying, his good former, a former enemy, and then became his friend, and you know, he kind of started coaching him, and then he dies, and then Rocky comes back, and of course, you know, he saw the end, and then with also him, I fight for me. Remember Drago?
Yes.
I fight for me. Rocky IV, all the Rocky series actually up till four. You know,
we may see another Rocky pop up on somebody's list. Who knows? Good pick. Rocky IV. You can't go wrong with a Rocky film when you're talking inspirational.
Absolutely.
Swings us into our number four. Speaking of fours, my number four came out in 2009. Matt, it was my number one film of that year. I'm talking about An Education. I don't know if you guys have seen this film.
No.
Cary Mulligan, Peter Sarsgaard. It's a coming-of-age story about a teenager who gets swept off her feet by a playboy. That's Peter Sarsgaard over in London back in like the 1950s, 60s, and ends up dropping out of high school when she had a chance to study and actually go to Oxford. And because she wanted everything in life that he had so fast, because, hey, I can just hang with this guy and go to all the cool parties and buy the rich art. But she's giving up her education, hence the title of the film. But at the end, she ends up going back to school. And there's a teacher in the movie called Mrs. Tibbs that's played by Olivia Williams, who just really knocks it out of the park. And she really takes Carey Mulligan's character and gets her through these final parts and gets her into Oxford and basically gives this inspirational speech saying that you can go on and have this great education and do so many more things and see many more things in the world than I'll ever have a chance to do. And it's just that kind of wonderful teacher that you meet in your life that puts the student in front of themselves.
Now, I got to see this one. This comes up a lot on CinemaJaw, and I do feel bad that I haven't seen it yet. So,
yeah, Education, my number four.
Another one for the queue.
What do you got, Matt?
All right, at number four, I think this is where it starts to get a little personal. I have a few that are deeply personal picks. When I saw this movie way back in 1985 from the great John Hughes, I think this is his best film. It very much inspired me. We can all relate to this film, The Breakfast Club. I mean, this is the one that basically, I guess the message in The Breakfast Club is it's okay to be yourself, which is a really important lesson, and luckily it hit me really early, and I stayed true to that, and always, I took that out of this film, and I was very much an individual, and of course, I probably, at the time, identified with the Judd Nelson character, but as I've gotten older, each and every one of those characters has a little bit that you can take away and sort of learn from, so I love the Breakfast Club. I've seen it 800 times.
Sure, and I think a lot of people went with John Bender. They loved him being the cool dude at the Breakfast Club. But I agree. Probably as you get older, you relate to more of the characters inside the movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's supposed to light up when you pull the elephant's trunk. You know,
strong pick at number four, Michael.
You know, I'll get a little personal too. Is thinking back to my childhood and one of the first movies I saw that actually made me want to pick the type of job I wanted to do. And believe it or not, that was Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Whoa!
Look, when I was a kid, I thought archaeology was the coolest thing around. And I'd see him, you know, that whip and just going to these weird, crazy countries, finding new, running around and always winning. I wanted to be an archaeologist. I really did. You know, it actually made me like look into being an archaeologist. And then slowly I started to think as I got older, wait a second. all this stuff's going to be found. And they start, again, thinking about all the, like, digging you have to do and the real work that goes involved, and that you're not really getting chased by the Nazis or anything like that. And it started to settle in that this wasn't really going to be a viable career for me. It even went into paleontology for a while. But Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, I'm sure, you know, everyone knows it from back in the day. I mean, the most recent Indiana Jones recently came out, what, 2-3 years ago, right?
Yes.
The Crystal Skull.
The Crystal Skull.
Yeah. I'm not too happy with that one.
Yeah. No, the originals, you know, Temple of Doom, Kalima Shakti Day.
I love Temple of Doom.
Oh,
absolutely.
Temple of Doom was great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Chilled monkey brains.
Strong
Snake
picks.
Surprise. What's the surprise?
Strong picks at number 4. Swings us into our number 3s. My number 3 actually just came out last year. I'm picking a lot of new movies here. Stars James Franco. He was nominated for Best Actor for it. 127 Hours.
All right, I got to argue with this. How is that inspirational? The guy got his hands stuck.
I know, but the whole movie, you finally see him down in this cave, hands stuck, and the way they portray it, as far as he realizes that how much he wants to be alive, how much life means to him, getting back to his parents, seeing his family, and he has these visions of having a kid someday that he, at the time, he didn't have a child. But everything that you would want to fight for and live for is what got him down to the point where he could cut off his own arm with a dull blade in a cave. And when he comes out of that cave, I'm telling you, Matt, you're going to have tears in your eyes when you finally see this movie. I mean, it's just awesome. I mean, A, it's you're just so happy for the guy, but at the same time, it's inspirational, and it's really just a celebration of life.
You're 3 for 3 I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, have you seen this one?
I haven't seen that either. I've heard this story, and I admire it, but at the same time, I also know that when push comes to shove, it's death or cut off your arm. Cutting off my arm, man. There's no choice over there. Die, cut off arm, arm's gone. You know, you could also look at that movie, if you remember back in the day, Alive.
Yes.
The story of the soccer guys who actually had to eat the dead, you know, in order to survive. Same kind of thing. When you have to survive, no telling what you're going to do. And whether or not, you know, you go through with certain things or not, survival is your basic instinct. So I'm with you, Matt.
Wow.
You know,
tough crowd over on that side of the couch.
James Franco might have put a Hollywood spin on it, but I think, yeah, like Michael said.
Wait till you guys see it. You guys are bashing a movie that you guys haven't seen
yet. True. We'll see it. I'll see it. I know the story's good.
And I'm telling you, they pit it to the way of the idea that James Franco's character is doing all this because he just has that extra push to see his family again and actually start a family of his own one day. And then to see it at the end that this guy actually did accomplish all that, it's fantastic.
That's true. There's a lot of people that probably would have just died in that cave and given up, you know?
So. Oh, yeah.
This was a dull blade. This wasn't a hatchet that he took one shot at. This was something he worked at for.
It's a Swiss Army knife, you know? Yeah.
Dull. Oh.
It's a spoon.
Right. So that was my number 3. What do you got, Matt?
All right. I'm going classic here. This is a big inspirational film. This came up a lot in all the research I did. Schindler's List. And, you know, while it's not necessarily personal to me, when we saw this movie in 93, it came out, it's a huge triumphant story about the human will to say no to tyranny and you know, what Schindler did, inspirational.
Absolutely. You very, know. Very powerful film.
Great movie, too.
One I need to go back and watch again because I haven't seen it in years now.
You know, I got to say, and this might be going out on a limb, but it might be Steven Spielberg's, and not just because of the subject matter. Putting all that aside, I think it might be his best technical film as well.
Yeah.
I would say that.
Probably that or Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, it's both of those are close. Even Spielberg, it's hard to pick just one. But
sure is.
Schindler's List, it's up there for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. It sort of stinks that it's not the kind of movie and subject matter that you just want to pop on a Friday night. So it takes a long time for me to get in the mood to watch Schindler's List again.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it after this episode.
Ben Kingsley should be mentioned in this.
Awesome.
Tremendous
awesome performance.
Yeah.
Sure is. So. All right, what do you got, Michael?
So this one, again, personal to me, as it was to a lot of people in the 90s, Wall Street. Classic finance film, investment banking, greed. Yep, there you go. It was all about the money. And for me, back then in the 90s, in education, studying, I saw that lifestyle. I saw, you know, Gordon Gekko, stocks. And it actually was one of the things that made me want to start looking at finance seriously as a career. Now, I'm not in finance anymore, so I'll get to that later. But Wall Street did affect a lot of people around that time. I mean, Oliver Stone... Was it, I'm just thinking of Oliver Stone. Yeah, Oliver Stone was the director of that. I believe it won awards. You know, it's and Wall Street 2 just came out, not nearly as powerful as the first one by any means. But either way, it was a movie that affected a lot of people. There were some other movies after that. Boiler Room. Remember that was another finance movie.
Boiler Room.
Yeah, a lot of people from the later generation connected to that one. But I actually connect with Bud Fox more so than anything else. Mm-hmm. So,
Bud Fox is the man. You know,
no doubt about it.
What does he say at the end? Like at the end, I just realized that I'm just Bud Fox. Something ridiculous like that. Charlie Sheen in one of his earliest roles.
What was it, Bud Fox?
Yeah, the line at the end of the movie when he's like, "Why'd you do it?" "Because I just want to be Bud Fox. I thought so long I wanted to be you."
Oh, yeah. You know, I can't remember that exact line, but I remember, you know, Charlie Sheen, it was insider trading at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, what he did was wrong, and even what Gordon Gekko was doing was wrong, but Charlie Sheen tried to make amends. And even if you saw the most recent movie, he made a little cameo where he apparently got his act together and started to do some good things.
Really? Bud Fox appears in the
sequel?
Yeah,
for a quick, sure quick, does. With, if I believe, two women on his arms at a party, if I'm thinking right.
But
I could be confusing that with Batman.
Awesome. Awesome pick. Swings us into our number twos, and I stick with sort of a financial film here as far as being a desk job. I'm talking about the 2006, dare I say, Will Smith masterpiece, Pursuit of Happiness.
4 for 4, Rye. I haven't seen this one either.
Oh, I will 100% agree with you on that one.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Wow. Finally, I got Michael's approval.
Absolutely.
Here. Will Smith, it's the story of Christopher Gardner, who tried to sell bone density scanners, Matt, for a long time, put a lot of his own money into selling these. It wasn't working. It was sort of a dead machine. No doctors were buying it. And at that point, basically, he saw the opportunity that he could become a stockbroker. But it was going to take 6 months of training without any pay. There was a lot of risk, but he had such determination to do this. And at this time, his wife divorced him. And at one point, he's actually living out on the street with him and his son. And he's trying to get this stockbroker job. And, I mean, the ending of this film is so beautiful when he does get the job and he comes out of the street and he's basically walking with you'll see these kind of shots with the workforce of like New York and it's panning back and there's like sort of like tears in his eyes and he's just putting his arms up. Oh, does it make you feel good inside? And it really makes you feel like you could do anything that you set your mind to. I think that's the mindset of this character, and it came right through on this film. I love The Pursuit of Happiness. Will Smith's best movie, bar none.
Yeah, I remember the scene of how he actually got the interview with the Rubik's Cube in the cab. You know, it just shows you that, you know, and that's based on a true story. So remember that. And the thing is that he actually was in the, if you remember this, he was in the cab. He only had a short period of time to impress the hiring manager, the guy mm-hmm. who would get him in the program. And he solved the Rubik's Cube by the time the cab impressed the guy. By the time the cab got to the ending destination, impressed the guy. Guy got him in for the interview, and the rest, the shirt.
Yes,
great scene.
Fantastic. You're talking about the what it was a painter or exactly, you know, what?
No, something happened to his shirt where it got
ripped up.
It ripped up, and he showed up with no shirt.
Yeah,
and they were looking at him, but you know he made the best lighthearted comment about, "Oh, I wish I could remember that."
But it's such a fantastic scene. It actually stuck with me, and it's sort of my philosophy at sometimes when I'm stuck in just an absolutely awkward situation. And I've never been in something quite like that where I showed up at a job interview with no shirt.
Right.
I've been in, like, you know, just little type situations. I think, like, just tell them the truth and make light of it. Like, you're not going to believe what happened to me, but blah, blah, blah.
I think he said something like, I hope he's got great pants or something like, or what, something with his pants. I wish I remember that line.
Yeah, it's a fabulous film.
I'm
Check
sure
it
some
out,
of your
man.
Listeners know that one. Though.
Yeah. My number two, Pursuit of Happiness.
Nicely done. All right. I don't mean to bring... Well, this isn't bringing us down. Actually, this is an inspirational film,
oh,
so
boy.
It can't bring us down. It's not nearly as... I've gone from Revenge of the Nerds to Gandhi. And
strong pick, Matt.
Yeah, Ben Kingsley again.
Yes.
Gee, you really like Ben. Yeah.
I do. I love Ben. And honestly, I hate to say this again and again, but this has got to be his best film, Gandhi.
Oh, come on. Yeah. That was
fabulous.
An epic. That was an epic.
It was.
Based on a true story. You can't... You know. You think about all those legendary, not legendary, but, you know, iconic true people in the world. I mean, you've got Malcolm X, Gandhi,
sure.
You've got all these period pieces of different people, and they're all inspirational in a way because they tell a great story. I mean, go on. I want to hear more.
No, it's cool. I mean, I could have picked a lot of those figures that you just mentioned, but for me, I'm saying Gandhi is probably the most, you know, recent history, the most inspirational figure that we've seen. His nonviolent protests, it's cool. It's not necessarily a philosophy I subscribe to, but I try. I aspire to subscribe to what Gandhi taught us. And his famous line, an eye for an eye only makes the whole world blind, that always gets to me, man. So, Gandhi.
Can't argue with that pick.
Oh, I got a fun fact about Gandhi. Check this out. Alec Guinness and Anthony Hopkins were both originally considered to play Gandhi. Hannibal Lecter and Obi-Wan.
That's awesome.
Ben Kingsley definitely took the tan a little bit better to his skin, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He really pulled it off. He looked just like Gandhi.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the interesting question is, when you think about characters like that, what about bad characters that are inspirational, too? The Denzel Washington movie, Drug Dealer. Do you guys remember that movie?
No.
Oh, he was a Harlem drug dealer, and it was Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington. One of these period pieces where he came from nothing, became a drug dealer, but was like so charismatic, and ended up turning state's evidence at the end. And
right. It came out just a few years ago. Yeah, I mean, maybe 3 years ago.
But it made you want to root for the guy, mm-hmm. for Denzel, even though he was a damn drug dealer, you know? But there's a lot of bad guy characters like that out there, too, that you kind of sometimes want to root for because regardless of what they're doing bad, they actually have a good story behind them in the way they do certain things, regardless of what they've done, unfortunately.
Like the anti-hero.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. So Matt had Gandhi at number two. Swings us over to Michael's number two.
My number two has got to go back to the next movie that kind of wanted me to shape my career. It's a funny one, not so inspirational, but definitely personal to me, Boomerang. Boomerang, Eddie Murphy, Robin Givens, David Alan Grier, Martin Lawrence. Oh, the list goes on. That movie was about a marketing executive in a powerful company and a womanizer at the same time who basically gets it hit right back at him when he falls for his top executive and eventually says, you know, she basically hits him back. He was playing women forever. She played him. He goes with the other girl, Halle Berry, yep. at that movie. But the reason this movie was so inspirational to me was because I looked at the marketing lifestyle again, you know, in terms of developing commercials, the creative aspect of it, and seeing him in that room kind of wowing the execs when he decided to call the name of the perfume Strange.
Yes.
And then the disaster of that commercial that the one creative director created. Marvelous. Because he was so messed up on the breakup, Eddie Murphy, that he ignored creative direction and let the creative director just run with it. Next thing you know, you have, what was her name? Grace Jones giving birth to the perfume in an egg. Just a disgusting commercial. Skin melting off her face. Horrible. But that movie is just a fun overall movie. A great, have you guys seen it?
Oh, yeah. I was a big fan.
It's been a while, but yeah, I've seen it.
And I would actually say it's a shame that Eddie Murphy from that movie went on to do such dumb things like Norbit and multiple Nutty Professors.
Daddy
I would have liked
daycare.
To see him go back and do some more like serious comedies.
Coming to America, great
yeah.
film, great
oh,
film.
Oh man,
and,
yeah.
and Boomerang. I mean,
Boomerang,
these
great
were
film.
Great. But I wish he would have went more in that direction, a little bit more serious, and not such
Vampire
Norbit
in Brooklyn.
Oh,
man.
Horrible! Jeez, come on, Matt. Let's not ruin the show here.
He had a mullet. He had a mullet in that, if you remember, a long
yeah,
mullet.
Yeah, but he was a vampire from Brooklyn.
All vampire right. with a mullet from Brooklyn.
We're going into our number ones. We're going into our number ones. No crossovers yet. This is fantastic. My number one, not a crossover, but Michael mentioned Rocky number four, but I have got to say, actually, the most inspirational film of all time is the original Rocky, 1976.
Adrian!
I mean, this is really a story about a man determined to achieve his goal, which is actually not to win the match, just to prove that he belongs with the heavyweight champion. He never wanted to win. He just wanted to go toe for toe with the champ. And that's what the ending of that film, if I watch that movie when I put it on, start to finish, by the end, when it comes down to that final 15th round, both fighters at this point have been beat ridiculous. But Rocky goes down. He's not going to win the decision, but he's trying to get back up. The music starts playing. Apollo sees him getting back up and just looks in like disbelief. His manager is telling him, stay down, stay down. But he gets up because he just knows he has to do that.
The will to fight, man. The will to fight.
Yeah. Adrian's eyes close in this beautiful moment. Cut to her. The music's playing. She knows he's got to do this. Even if he's going to kill himself, he has to do this. And I swear, tears in my eyes every single time I watch that original Rocky. And that's not to mention him finally running up the steps from the very first time he ran up the steps. Now it's so iconic, the training sequences. But at yeah. the time, we had never seen anything like that. He was running, his side was hurting, it was cold, to the part when he finally does it with the music playing and he just starts skipping around on the top of the steps doing that little Russian jig. I don't know what he's doing.
You know, like a wishy-washy wiper, you know.
For my money, Rocky, the original, is the best in the series and my most inspirational film. Matt, what do you got at number one?
I'm shocked that this wasn't your number one, Rye. I really thought we were going to have a crossover.
Oh, you're not yelling freedom on me.
No, I'm not yelling freedom. It's another sports movie, though. 1984, Ralph Macchio, Pat Morita, The Karate Kid.
So glad you mentioned this, Matt, because I didn't put it on my list because I talk about it a lot, but...
Daniel LaRusso's going to fight? Daniel LaRusso's going to fight!
Oh, it's so fantastic.
That's it. That's all I need to say. Yeah. I mean, you know, the crane kick and the
rest
of history.
Sweep the leg.
And another great thing about the innocence of that movie is at the very end, after he does win, what happens at the very end? Johnny actually goes and gets the trophy, which you never see nowadays, and hands it to LaRusso, and he says, "You're all right, LaRusso." And it just makes you feel warm inside. He looks over at Miyagi, and he's just got this grin on his face.
Yeah.
And fantastic.
In even the beginning of Karate Kid 2, do you remember the beginning of Karate 2? Right where they left off, right away, another inspirational moment.
Yep.
Miyagi takes down the Cobra Kai instructor,
sensei,
and takes him down. The guy punches through the glass, looks at his bloody hand, and Miyagi takes a control. Could have killed him right there with one quick, "Mercy is for the weak," but honks his nose. Great scene.
It was Karate Kid, very inspirational, Matt. Love it.
How about it, man?
Yeah, fantastic. Strong number ones here, Michael. I hope you can... take us out on a high note.
You know what, again, I'm going for these wacky kind of personal ones. The movie, you said it earlier, but not that one, 300. Now.
That is very inspirational.
300. The story of just 300 Spartans. Yep. 300 Spartans who had to face a massive army. And I'll tell you, this movie, I can watch this movie before any athletic matchup, and it just gets me riled up. You know, it just lets you think, man, I just, you know, what was it? Any man, no matter how many odds are against you, you can still keep fighting. It's all these movies we've been talking about is like that. You know, you're down, you have less numbers, and you can still fight, and you keep fighting.
Against all the odds.
No retreat, no surrender. Yep. That's the Spartan way.
Yeah.
That movie gets to me every single time.
I agree, man. This movie does not get enough praise. Rye, I don't think you're a big fan of it.
I'm not a huge fan of it. But when we're talking inspirational movies, I see Michael's point.
Yeah, and I disagree with Rye. I think it was technically a great movie, and story-wise a great movie.
Yeah, embellished a lot for history, but regardless, the story of the outnumbered.
I myself would rather give a spin to Braveheart, which was an honorable mention of mine. I think you got some other honorables.
I do. I got my whole list. I'm not going to mention them all. Ghostbusters, really.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Ghostbusters.
What? Right.
You gotta explain this one.
Yeah, what the heck are you talking about?
Well, like you in Indiana Jones, Michael.
You wanted to be a ghost?
I wanted to be a Ghostbuster.
I gotta, you know, I'll give him that.
Thank you.
It was fun. Slimed, getting slimed, that looked actually kind of cool.
It did, yeah.
How about Seabiscuit? I love Seabiscuit, very inspirational.
Yeah, I didn't want to be a jockey, though.
Yeah, it's a horse movie.
Any Facebook comments before we go to break?
Yeah. Let's see here. Pay It Forward from Paul Bingaman.
Oh, that was good.
David Vigiano, a former guest here on Cinema Jaw, chimed in with As Good As It Gets, The Joy Luck Club, It's a Wonderful Life, The Shawshank Redemption, which I kept seeing coming up again and again, and The Color Purple. Jessica Stribula threw in a lot, but I'll mention Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And then last but not least, my good old friend Brian Christina chimed in with The Natural, Beautiful Mind, What Dreams May Come, Rudy, Rocky, He Agrees With You, and The Patriot. All really good films.
Oh, The Patriot was good. Shawshank, I definitely agree with that one on the series tip.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I love that movie.
The Program. If we wanted to mention football movies, don't forget The Program.
All football
James
movies.
James Caan.
Yes.
Rudy's, like, I think I said that one.
Yeah.
Hugely
fantastic.
Inspirational.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Blues.
I agree. So listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a couple DVD reviews for you, plus Michael and Matt Kay and Sean Penn movie trivia. We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a Cinema Jaw movie fact. Regarding the film Rocky, when shooting the scenes in the meat locker where Rocky punches slabs of beef, Stallone punched the meat for so long and so hard that he flattened out his knuckles. To this day, when he makes a fist, his knuckles are completely level. And that is your Cinema Jaw movie fact.
And we are back on Cinema Jaw with guest Michael Longani from Season 5 of The Apprentice. And also, People Magazine had this guy listed as one of the most eligible bachelors here in Chicago. We just did our inspirational movies. And before Michael plays Matt in Sean Penn Movie Trivia, I got a couple of DVD reviews for you, Matt.
I have one as well.
Awesome. So first up, Tron Legacy came out on Blu-ray 28 years after the original pushed the visual boundaries of film. The second installment shows up on Blu-ray, aiming to do the same. In the digital effects age we live in, this is a rather lofty goal, Matt. However, I think they accomplished that goal. This is one awesome-looking movie. Not only is it eye candy from start to finish, but Tron Legacy will also give your home theater surround sound system a workout. Question is, did they give us enough substance in the story to go along with those eye candy and visual effects? And sadly, Matt, the answer is no. Sam Flynn, the son of Kevin Flynn, played by Jeff Bridges, goes looking for him in the digital world, which has now evolved as it has tried to become a utopia of sorts. The speed bikes are back, as is Jeff Bridges, who comes off as the dude stuck in a video game. The only thing he's missing is a white Russian. Once reunited, the mission becomes trying to get out of the digital world. The story fails to give us any reason to care about the characters, and that reduces the joy of the main action sequences near the end. That said, this is still a movie to have some fun with. It's a real treat for your eyes and your ears, just not so much for your brain.
Careful, there's a beverage here, man!
Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 2.5 Jaws, a grade of a C+. Slight recommend. Michael, you saw this one.
I agree with you 100%. Great visuals, lacking in substance, big time. I was snowboarding out in Tahoe. We came back to Reno, actually, and watched it there just because we had nothing else to do. In 3D, too. My first experience with a 3D movie, actually. Still, just you know, I love visuals, but the rest of it just fell flat.
Need a little bit more story to be awesome, but story was lacking. That'll kill every movie, I tell you.
Word.
The other one, this is a doozy, Matt. The film is called Dogtooth. I have seen many films in my life, as you know, Matt, but this film from Greece that was recently nominated for Best Foreign Film may just be the strangest, most disturbing I have ever seen. This is not a bad thing, however. In fact, I found this movie to be outstanding. The story is out there. Three teenagers are raised in a house by parents who have never let them leave the property. The parents have also never allowed any outside influence of any kind into the house. Thus, the kids have minds that are warped into a strange reality their parents have created for them. They use wrong words to describe some things. They offer to lick someone's body in exchange for a gift. They get down on their hands and knees and bark like a dog to scare off outside intruders.
Sounds like Tuesday night at my house.
They believe, Matt, the most vicious and scary animal on the planet is a cat. This is only the tip of the iceberg. Their behavior is very funny in a dark way, but the film, as it moves on, becomes disturbing and actually sad. The father is one of the creepiest and meanest dads in movie history. This would have been in my top 10 of last year, Matt. It is a brilliant film. This is very dark and violent at times. I encourage everyone with an open mind towards movies to give this one a spin. If nothing else, it will give you something to talk about for hours after. Rye the Movie Guy is dropping the jaw on this one. 4 Jaws, a
wow.
grade of an A.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard you give a 4 Jaw review.
That's tough to come by. Dogtooth, check this one out. And just beware, there's no narrative on why the parents do this to the kids. It's out there. I'm telling you, this movie is out there. Very strange, very dark. Dogtooth.
And not to be confused with the restaurant Sawtooth on Randolph here in Chicago.
Very different.
Let's
from
not
that
confuse.
Restaurant.
Matt, you caught something.
I did. So the Netflix app just came out for Android. I know you don't use an Android phone, but a lot of our listeners probably do. And so I'm sitting there. I'm going to watch a movie on my phone. What movie to watch for the first time on a cell phone? A movie about the first computer animated movie ever. Feature length. The Pixar Story. So this is a great documentary about the famous movie studio. And we see them from their fledgling days up to the point where they get Steve Jobs and things start to turn around with them. They join Disney. Disney starts to tank and they bring Disney back. The full story arc. It gets a little boring toward the middle when they just have hit after hit after hit. And then we see the future and the struggle even behind the hit after hit after hit. And it once again becomes very entertaining toward the end. This was a fantastic documentary. High recommend. I would give it 3 Jaws. Solid 3 Jaws.
Nice. I want to check that one out sometime.
Yeah. As far as documentaries go, I think this is one of the best of the
year. But Sean Penn wasn't in that.
No, Sean Penn's not in it.
All right. But he has a new movie coming out called The Tree of Life. It's opening with Sean Penn and Brad Pitt. And because of that, we have Sean Penn movie trivia. Let me remind the jawheads at home.
I'm not big on Sean Penn.
You know
what?
Good. Then this is going to be a good matchup. Because,
let me remind the jawheads at home. Matt has a losing record once again. He is 7-8 on the year, coming off a devastating loss.
Great. That's a lot of pressure on me to win this, then. You realize
now,
that.
Michael, you're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals if the person doesn't know. And you do have one lifeline, Rescue Me Reno, where our wonderful producer will come in and help you out with a clue. Michael, would you like to go first?
You know what? I'm here as a guest. It's your show. I'd like Matt to go first.
All right. Question number one, over to Matt. Sean Penn movie trivia. In 1989's We're No Angels, Sean Penn starred with this actor as two convicts disguised as priests.
Robert De Niro.
1-0,
whoa.
Matt Kay.
Pulled that one out.
Dude,
of my
you
ass.
Totally made it look like you had no clue, and then you pulled that. I'm in trouble.
Question number two, over to Michael. What was the name of the 2001 movie in which Sean Penn played a mentally retarded man fighting for custody of his 7-year-old daughter?
I Am Sam.
1-1. We got a ball game. He's a player, Matt. We go over question number three over to Matt. Sean Penn starred alongside Michael J. Fox in this Brian De Palma Vietnam film that came out in 1989. Michael J. Fox, Sean Penn.
Jesus, man. I know what it's not. Oh.
You do have a lifeline.
Fine. Rescue Me, Reno.
Rescue Me, Reno. Question number three. Sean Penn starred alongside Michael J. Fox in this Brian De Palma Vietnam film that came out in 1989.
And your clue is, if you die in battle, you are one.
Your clue is, if you die in battle, you are one.
Ghosts on the Battlefield?
Got a chance for a steal here, Michael, and to take a lead.
I
have
it.
Michael J. Fox, Sean Penn.
I can see it, but nah, I got nothing. You know, I'll let this one ride out at a time.
That was a casualty right there. Casualties of war.
As soon as you said the word casualty, I hit it. But
no points awarded there. It's still 1-1. This question's over to Michael. Question number four. In 2003, Sean Penn starred in 21 Grams. Which actress played his wife? 21 Grams. Sean Penn and who? Benicio Del Toro was also in the film, but who played his wife?
I was about to answer the wife.
You do have a lifeline.
I was about to answer the wife from a different drug-related movie with Johnny Depp. 21 Grams. She was... I don't want to give him any clues.
You do have a lifeline.
Let me use the lifeline.
Rescue Me, Reno. Question number four. In 2003, Sean Penn starred in 21 Grams. What actress played his wife?
And your clue is... King Kong would like to give her a ring.
Naomi Watts.
Yes. King Kong would like to give her a ring. Beautiful, beautiful.
Nice clue, man.
It actually wasn't the clue. I knew she was blonde, and then as soon as you said that, it just kind of
hit clicked.
2-1, Michael. Question over to Matt. Question number five. Sean Penn won his second Oscar for playing Harvey Milk in the film Milk. What actor played Dan White, the man who killed Harvey Milk?
Oh, man. I just saw that. It was. He's a character actor. He's not a big name.
You are out of lifelines. Who played Dan White, the man who killed Harvey Milk?
Don't know.
Got a chance for a steal, Michael, and blow this thing wide open. Harvey Milk was played by Sean Penn. What actor played Dan White, the man who killed him?
I have it in my head, too. I could almost see the guy.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, it was. It was. Oh, I know exactly who it was, and I know the movie. It was the guy from the oil movie. Oh, he was just in that horror movie. Oh, wait a second. Yeah.
He's so close.
You know I'm close. I could see him. Oh, what's his name? You know what? I'm not. It's going to take a while. So, nope.
We were looking for Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin. Oh.
Josh Brolin.
He is a big name, yeah.
Holy cow. It's still 2-1, and this question now is over to Michael. Sean Penn played Michael Douglas's brother in this 1997 mystery thriller.
Give me a second, because I already had that on my
Michael
he lost
Douglas.
A shoe.
Oh, come on.
I got the title. I got the
mystery
title.
Thriller.
Give me a second. It's called... Oh, my God. I love this movie, too.
This
I
is
can't
a
think of the title.
Tension's building. Clock is ticking.
The Game.
Ooh.
Wow.
Pulls it out.
Oh, man.
That was big. 3-1, Michael. This question's over to Matt. Sean Penn starred alongside Tim Robbins and Kevin Bacon in Mystic River. Who directed the film?
I thought you were just going to say, what was the name of the movie? Mystic River.
Who directed Mystic River?
Clint Eastwood.
3-2. This question's over to Michael. Sean Penn teamed up with J-Lo, Nick Nolte, and Billy Bob Thornton in this road movie.
Wow.
Jennifer Lopez.
I don't watch anything with J-Lo.
Sean Penn.
I don't even say J-Lo.
Nick Nolte.
Nick
Billy
Nolte's
Bob Thornton.
Cool. Billy Bob's not bad. Road movie, you said.
Sort of. In quotes.
It's not Roadhouse, that's for sure.
Any guess? It's 3-2. 3-2. Michael's in the lead.
I know he's going to know it, too.
Nah, Matt, you got a chance for a steal.
One more time.
All right. It's J-Lo, Sean Penn, Nick Nolte, and Billy Bob Thornton.
In a road movie?
Yep.
I have no idea. Driving Miss Daisy.
We were looking for U-Turn. U-Turn.
No
they
clue.
Break down on
None.
The road.
You know, I'm kind of glad you didn't know that one. I would have questioned you on the J-Lo. I mean, it's like that movie Geely.
Last question of the game goes over to Matt. You can tie it, and it can come down to a jawbreaker. Matt, Sean Penn plays a convict who befriends a nun played by Susan Sarandon in this Tim Robbins-directed film.
Plays a convict who befriends a nun in a Tim Robbins film.
We're running out of time.
Wasn't that We're No Angels? No
Game's
clue.
Over, Michael. You got a chance for a steal. Susan Sarandon, Sean Penn.
I think Nuns is... I keep thinking of Martin Lawrence in a nun movie.
Sister Act.
Sister
right?
Act. That's what's coming to my head. I know it's not Sister Act.
We were looking for
Dead
Man Walking.
No way.
Michael wins it 3-2. There was a jawbreaker in case there was a tie. Better... hold on.
Nicely
Let me
done,
see this
first
one.
Of all.
Thank you. It was the game. I just got that. If you would have had that.
Yeah.
That was tight. That was good. That was
a
good match.
Better stoner, Michael. Sean Penn Spicoli or Matthew McConaughey's David Wooderson in Dazed and Confused?
Matthew McConaughey.
Spicoli.
Yeah, Spicoli. Got to give him that one. The real jawbreaker was this. How many times has Sean Penn been nominated for Best Actor? Matt?
3.
Michael?
I'm going to go 2.
Would have gave that one to Matt. 5. 5 times nominated,
Jeez.
2 wins.
Wow. I was thinking wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're getting close. Let's do one Hollywood headline and blow out of here.
All right.
Get this one, Matt. Angelina Jolie confirms that she wants David Fincher to helm Cleopatra, a project she's already attached to star in.
It sounds good to me.
Yeah, Cleopatra. I want to see it.
They're going to remake everything, man.
She looks good as a Cleopatra.
I think
Guaranteed.
So.
All right, I got one. Johnny Depp has a cameo in the 21 Jump Street movie that stars Jonah Hill. Depp has already filmed his role and says he could not be happier with it.
I don't know how I feel about that. I like that Johnny Depp went back to his roots and did a cameo for it, but I don't think we need a 21 Jump Street.
We do not need a 21 Jump Street movie.
You're
That's
absolutely
why we make a 90210
correct.
Movie. Bring back Dylan.
I agree. That brings us to the end of a good jaw here. We got a clip to play here at the end, too. Michael, thanks for coming on Cinema Jaw.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. This was fun.
And really quick, Michael, you got a black tie event coming up, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I am the board member of the Wish Ball Committee. It's a Make-A-Wish Foundation of Illinois. They hold their annual gala here on Saturday. It raises almost $1 million annually. Dennis Miller is our host, another fellow radio guy. Tickets are $500, quite pricey, but it's a great event. So anyone catching it out there, just check it out.
Awesome.
Nice. Well, that brings us to the end. So
yeah, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And until next week, keep on jawing about the movies. And on our way out of here,
we got 40 inspirational speeches in 2 minutes. So check out this clip. See you next week.
Will you fight? No! We will run! And we will live!
Shame on you!
This could be the greatest night of our lives. But you're gonna let it be the worst.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life you won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
Well, I'm not going home.
We've got too far!
And I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this lost cause.
A day may come when the courage of men fails, but it is not this day.
The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther.
I'm not saying it's gonna be easy.
You're gonna work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine, we'll just get tougher with it.
If a person grits his teeth and shows real determination,
failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say,
we can break this army here.
And win just one for the Gipper.
But I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time,
you've got to get mad.
I mean plumb mad dog mean.
If you would be free men, then you must
fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts
1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
You're like a big bear, man.
This is your time.
Seize the day.
Never surrender.
Victory or death.
Patch the Chicago.
Who's with me?
Clap. Clap. Don't let him die. Clap.
All right. Let's fly.
And gentlemen in England now abed shall
know my name is the Lord.
When I tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
our Independence Day.